Hey y'all, Scott here. Here's how to support the show. Patreon.com/ScottHortonShow if you want to donate per interview. And also ScottHorton.org/donate. Anyone who donates $20 gets a copy of the audiobook of Fool's Errand. Anyone who donates $50, that'll get you a signed copy of the paperback in the mail there. And anyone who donates $100 gets either a QR code commodity disc or a lifetime subscription, not only for $100, not two, a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think audiobooks, libertarian audiobooks, listenandthink.com there. So check out all that stuff. And of course, we take all your different digital currencies, especially Zencash and all the different kinds of Bitcoins and whatevers are all there at scotthorton.org/donate. And get the book, Fool's Errand. And give it a good review on Amazon if you read it and you liked it, and review the show on iTunes and Stitcher and that kind of thing if you want. All right, thanks.
Sorry I'm late. I had to stop by the Wax Museum again and give the finger to FDR.
We know Al-Qaeda, Zawahiri, is supporting the opposition in Syria. Are we supporting Al-Qaeda in Syria?
Well, it's a proud day for America. And by God, we've kicked Vietnam Syndrome once and for all. Thank you very, very much.
I say it again, you've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked.
These witnesses are trying to simply deny things that just about everybody else accepts as fact.
He came, he saw, he died.
Well, we ain't killing they army, but we killing them. We be on CNN like, say our name, man, say it three times.
The meeting of the largest armies in the history of the world. Then there's going to be an invasion.
All right, you guys, introducing John Schwartz from The Intercept, formerly Tiny Revolution. Follow him on Twitter, John Schwartz, without the T. Hey, man, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Well, I'm great, and I'm especially happy to talk about this particular issue because I'm amazed that it's flying under the radar like this. It is incredible that this is going on in Congress and nobody is talking about it.
And you're not even talking about the current confirmation of the torture lady, you know, out of the left side peripheral vision here of mine. But no, you're talking about this new AUMF. You got this piece. It's about Donald Trump ordered this serious strike. And then he said, well, I got a secret legal justification. And then I guess it was Mattis or was it Pence or one of these said, well, you know, the president has the authority to launch strikes because of due to American national interest. That's it. You know, as determined by him, he's authorized to do this at any time. So that's a whole article, but we don't have time for that because that's just the premise of the next article. The cure is worse than the disease. The bill to restrict Trump's war powers would actually endorse a worldwide war on terror. And this is about the new AUMF, which includes a thing that reaffirms or whatever, I'll let you characterize it, makes worse the military detention of American citizens provision from the NDAA of 2012. Go ahead. The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Well, people may remember that it was actually big news back at the very end of 2011 when Barack Obama signed the National Defense Authorization Act, which is something that, you know, happens every year, like they pass that every year. But back then, they'd added some new language, and the language was affirming what presidents, both George Bush and Barack Obama had claimed before, which was that the 2001 authorization to use military force passed, 3 days after 9/11, that gave them the authority to detain Americans indefinitely without charges, even if they'd been captured thousands of miles away from any battlefield, like happened to Jose Padilla. And that is an extraordinary power. Some courts had agreed that the 2001 authorization to use military force gave presidents the power to do that. Presidents had claimed it. But what was significant about the new Defense Authorization Act was that Congress was finally saying, like, yes, we agree. And like basically that means, you know, you have all three branches of the government saying like, oh yeah, the president can do this. And, you know, sort of people who supported the National Defense Authorization Act, what they would tell you is, well, you know, nothing about the bill changed what could be done to Americans specifically. Like what it was saying was that the president can do this in general, and there's a little part of the act that says, you know, this doesn't change anything about the president's power to do this to Americans specifically. But the issue is that, you know, presidents had already claimed that they had that power, and what the National Defense Authorization Act was saying that, you know, they were, Congress is going along with it, and it also sort of expanded the universe.
Well, now, so wait a minute, let me make sure I understand this right, because, you know, there's a difference between theory and practice and doctrine and behavior on the part of the government here. So Jose Padilla that you mentioned there, he's kind of the poster boy for this, right? American-born, American citizen, actual member of Al-Qaeda, or at least fellow traveler with these guys. But then because of tortured evidence out of another guy, Binyam Mohammed was accused of a dirty bomb plot and all of this by the CIA. And so he was arrested by FBI agents in blue parkas, that is civilians, not soldiers, at O'Hare Airport in Chicago. And he was arraigned, I forget if it was after the first or after the first arraignment. I think it was after he was arraigned. Then he was turned over to Donald Rumsfeld and to George Tenet. So Donald Rumsfeld held him at the brig down there in South Carolina, and George Tenet, the director of the Central Intelligence Agency at the time, tortured him. And so, and they held him lawlessly there for years, and the Supreme Court ducked the issue once on standing ground. But on the second time, when it was headed to the Supreme Court, Bush chickened out. And they went ahead and indicted him and prosecuted him and got a ridiculous conviction, by the way, this guy, in federal court, where they dropped all their grandiose former claims about him. But so they went ahead and gave him a civilian trial after all. So the Supreme Court didn't get a chance to strike down what they were doing, right? It deprived them of a ruling on that. And because I guess the Bush guys thought that they would lose on that. But so... It's complicated, but so help me understand then how it is that even the NDAA of 2012, and now you're saying this thing too, they don't necessarily say go ahead and detain Americans, but they allow it anyway, or they imply that whatever claimed power, Padilla Doctrine type power does stand, or how does it work?
Yeah, well, it is complicated, and it's really the kind of thing where the government counts on it being so complicated that no one will really pay attention. But you're absolutely right. Like, there's a difference between what's written on a piece of paper and what happens in practice. And, you know, everything you were saying about Padilla is true and important, that the Supreme Court never decided that this was okay. They never stated that Americans can be held by the military at the president's whim. A lower court basically did say that before they moved him into the civilian court system. And what really happened, like, during that period was that there were a lot of high profile cases about this issue, like can presidents detain American citizens? And the Bush administration and then the Obama administration kind of decided that utilizing this power that they claim to have is more trouble than it was worth. And so the Obama administration in particular then just started droning people that we might have wanted to capture before. We would just kill them rather than capturing them and holding them forever. You know, that was the, you know, there were Americans who were killed like Anwar al-Awlaki. But so the fact is, like, that power exists, like that claim power exists, even if it hasn't been used very much. And I think it is true, like, even if this new authorization to use military force was passed tomorrow, it's unlikely that, you know, right this second, Donald Trump would start using it to, you know, sweep up Americans and put us in camps. But the reason why it's so dangerous is that it's sort of a time bomb, like waiting there to go off. If there were another big terrorist attack on America, like if we were at war in some way, like that language is just sitting there waiting for a president to use. And if there's anything we've learned from the last three presidents is that they will take whatever power they're granted and will run with it. Mm. And it's just crazy. It's crazy to give the executive branch this power. And you know what's particularly troublesome about the new authorization to use military force is you know, that it doesn't formally affect whatever this power is that presidents claim to, you know, detain American citizens. But it allows presidents to essentially name new enemies at will. And so let's say, you know, you're an American journalist. Like, this is something that journalists were very worried about after the National Defense Authorization Act was passed, was like, well, like under a bad president in, you know, scary political times, could I be seen as, you know, giving support to a terrorist group just because like I talked to them and then published what they said? Well, you know, probably that wouldn't happen right now. But again, if, for people who remember what it was like, you know, at the end of 2001 and 2002, it's very easy to imagine a situation where, you know, people would be so scared and you would have a terrible president that journalists like that could be swept up into the military detention system. So it's just like it's leaving this this power there for any president to use. And again, like history just shows that that's nuts. Like the people who wrote the Constitution wrote it like that for a reason, which was that they understood history.
Hey, let me tell you about the sponsors of this show. First of all, Mike Swanson. He is the author of the great book, The War State, about the permanence of America's World War II military empire through the Truman, Eisenhower, and Kennedy administrations, the rise of the new right military-industrial complex after World War II. The War State by Mike Swanson. And also get his great investment advice to protect your financial future there at WallStreetWindow.com. He has a great understanding of what the hell is going on in these financial markets. WallStreetWindow.com. Unless I know he'll tell you, you got to have at least some of your savings. You must know. Some of your savings, however much it is, you got to have metals. And so what you do is you go to Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium. They have a very small brokerage fee in order to process for you and get you the very best deal. And if you buy with Bitcoin, there's no premium at all for your purchases of gold, silver, platinum, palladium. So check those guys out. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Inc. at rrbi.co. You ever play baseball? rrbi.co. And as I mentioned, Zencash is a great new digital currency. It's also an encrypted method of internet messaging and document transfer and all kinds of things for your business, for your secret conspiracies. Zencash.com. Check that out at zensystem.io. You can read all about how it works, every last detail, of course, at zensystem.io. And then there's this book about how to run your technology business like a libertarian. It's called No Dev, No Ops, No IT. And each of those is one word, three words, you know, get it? Yeah. No Dev, No Ops, No IT. It's by Hussein Badakhshani, and it's about how to run your business right in a libertarian way. LibertyStickers.com. And Tom Wood's Liberty Classroom. If you like learning things, I'll get a commission if you sign up by way of the link on my website. And listen, if you want a new, and the reason my website is down is my own broken servers, but if you want a new good-looking website like the one I do have when it's up and running at scotthorton.org, then check out expanddesigns.com/scott, expanddesigns.com/scott, and you will save $500 on your new website. Well, you know, it's interesting the way he's saying here about the AUMF in general here, the new AUMF, that Congress feels like, well, geez, they really should be part of this. And the whole terror war's been kind of on autopilot under presidential authority since 2001. But then they don't want to take on executive power. They don't want to just repeal the AUMF and say enough is enough. So instead, they codify permanent war forever against not just associated forces, but associated forces associated with those associated forces, because those are forces now since they've been associated. Everybody knows that. And so now if you have, what, Lashkar-e-Taiba in Kashmir, well, they're friends with the Pakistani Taliban who know the Afghan Taliban. And so why not, man? How about let's have a war in Kashmir? Which side should we take?
Yeah, so it really is. I don't know. It is kind of staggers the mind to imagine that these people who like Corker and Kane, you know, I did talk to a lot of people. I talked to Kane's staff. Like, they do seem to genuinely believe that, you know, there is a problem with executive power and that this would help. And it is like, you look at that and sort of what they're doing, and it is hard to understand, like, where they're getting this from.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, so I'm not sure how much you know about this. I don't know enough. This kind of thing, I guess we probably could use some exact quotes. I think you refer to this in there somewhere, how Dick Cheney and the original AUMF had sent them, well, I say Cheney, you know, is Addington and them, but anyway, the language that they sent to the Congress was actually far more expansive, and Tom Daschle and Dick Gephardt, I think, or Carl Levin, objected and took some stuff out, and this concerned what, their ability to use military force inside the United States, their ability to associate forces at will like this with those who had done the attacks.
Wait, so you're thinking about in 2001 or in 2011?
Yeah, right after September 11th. I think, didn't the Senate, the Democratic senators, the recipients of the anthrax letters, had said, hey, you know, this AUMF goes a little far.
Yeah, that is true. Like as expansive as the 2001 AUMF was, like, it was scaled back from what the Bush administration wanted, which was, you know, just essentially authorization.
And they just
to
made
do.
Up the part about associated forces, right? That's not in there.
You're saying that, yeah, that is true. I mean, the 2001 authorization to use military force, what it says is that the president is authorized to use force against basically anyone who is involved in any way with the 9/11 attacks. And so, you know, you could have organized them, you could have supported the people who were doing it, you could have provided, like, you know, safe haven for them. I don't think that's the exact language, but that's the meaning. And so, yeah, the associated forces stuff, that was new in the 2011 National Defense Authorization Act, and that gave them the power to hold people who are involved with Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or associated forces, as you say.
Yeah. So you make this important point about the strikes against the Syrian government. No pretension that the AUMF covers that, right? But there is a legal justification, a memo, and they've explained there's a document that says that this memo exists, right? But it's a secret memo, and you point out that usually, and they do this, you know, like the torture memos, they're secret because the torture program is secret, and so the whole thing's classified. But in this case, it's an overt act, but with a classified justification, and you said that as far as your experts that you consulted said, that was really a first.
This what's interesting and terrifying about this is that, as you say, this is totally separate from the whole issue of the 2001 authorization to use military force, the National Defense Authorization Act. Like, those, that was Congress definitely giving the president to go after people connected in some vague way with 9/11, right? Okay. Now, the Syria strike, obviously, again, as you say, had no connection whatsoever to 9/11. Like, Assad, whatever you want to say about him, nobody claims that he was behind that. And so in this situation, like, you would think, the Constitution gives the president the power, gives Congress the power to declare war. Don't you need some kind of congressional authorization? Well, here they're saying, like, no, we don't need congressional authorization. The Constitution gives the power to do, gives the president the power to do this, to just, you know, bomb countries at will. But we're not going to tell you why.
And which is funny, Congress, because why did George Bush need authorization after the U.S. was attacked, even then, if that's the case? Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously, that's a very good question to ask. But the amazing thing about this is that it's not just that this legal justification, this piece of paper saying that it's totally cool for the president to bomb Syria or wherever, like that you and me can't see it. Like that would be one thing. But even Congress cannot get a hold of this. And, you know, it's
because it's paper thin, right? Because it just says because he's the president and he's the commander in chief and he says so. And Addington Light, because they don't even have anybody that smart to come up with this crap now, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is basically it. And
I mean, you know, they're busted too now for having special operations forces on the ground, not against AQAP, but against their enemies, the Houthis. The war for Al-Qaeda in Yemen is being waged by Green Berets on the ground in Saudi Arabia right now. And they had just finished lying to the Senate about that when the Senate was debating whether to invoke the War Powers Act to make them stop helping the Saudis wage the air war there.
Yeah.
Which that's pretty huge. I mean, if there's such a thing as a law or any of that stuff, it seems like the pretense is wearing pretty thin.
Yeah, it is. It is wearing pretty thin. And, you know, in fairness to the people doing these terrible things right now, you know, I mean, this is a problem that goes back to Harry Truman, you know, waging a gigantic war in Korea, you know, in the 1950s.
Yeah, that was great where you quote Dick Cheney citing Harry Truman. Well, after Harry Truman did it, we can do whatever we want.
Right. Yeah. And it's just Congress has totally abdicated what it is supposed to be doing with its congressional powers. And I think I may have to write something at some point about how this really demonstrates that the guys who wrote the Constitution got it wrong, because their whole theory was that the people in Congress, you know, would be jealous of their own power and would guard it against the executive branch. Well, that turns out not to be true at all.
Yeah, no, not if it means taking responsibility. You know, that's not their job.
Right.
They got a fundraising call to make and a steak dinner to eat. All right, listen, man, I'm sorry. I got to go. I'm late. We got to talk torture with Karen Greenberg next. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks. That's Jonathan Schwartz, everybody. He writes a lot of really great stuff. These three are very important. Donald Trump ordered the serious strike based on a secret memo. The cure is worse than the disease about the AUMF. And a new bipartisan bill could give the president the power to imprison U.S. citizens in military detention forever. At TheIntercept.com. Jonathan Schwartz there for you guys. Or John Schwartz, I guess now. All right. ScottHorton.org doesn't work. LibertarianInstitute.org doesn't work. I mean, maybe they do by the time you hear this, or else how could you hear them? This. Anyway, I'm on YouTube.com/ScottHortonShow, so that's good. Subscribe and at Scott Horton Show on Twitter. And read my book, Fool's Errand, and listen to the audiobook. You like listening to me talk, right? The audiobook is now available. Fool's Errand, Time Down the War in Afghanistan.